Well, let's give Jesus a good clap offering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, what is our current topic?
Jubilee.
Jubilee. Well, the topic is Jubilee. But we are now into New Testament Jubilee. We have looked at Old Testament Jubilee. And in approaching New Testament Jubilee, we did a summary of the Old Testament Jubilee. And briefly, we saw that under the Old Testament, everything that was being released was material properties. The most essential of them was the human, so say, material. I hope you follow me now. Okay. Was the human material released. To have been in bondage, go back home. We also read from the book of Exodus about if you had sold an Hebrew into bondage, he would only serve for 6 years, and in the seventh year, he must be released. Who can tell me the difference between that release and the Jubilee release? Is there a technical difference? Yes, sir.
The first one signifies the Sabbath release, the seventh year, while the 50th one signifies that of the Jubilee.
Well, the Jubilee is also a Sabbath. Are you with me? The Jubilee is also a Sabbath. But there is a technical difference between the two. Okay, let us save some time. Jubilee is synchronized. Everybody is released the same year, the set year of Jubilee. Are you with me? Okay. I beg your pardon. All of us. You were not there in the Old Testament. We are talking about the Old Testament. But if you say you were released, that is good news. That is good news. Jubilee was synchronized. Everybody would go back home the same day that year. But the one about the 7 years, everybody is counting his own 7 years from the time that he was sold. Are you following me? So they are not necessarily all going to go home the same year, because you begin to count your own 7 years from the time that you went in. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So the Jubilee is still there as the special Jubilee. Now, the New Testament Jubilee. Yes, sir.
Last time I heard you say there was not much spirituality
right
in the Old Testament Jubilee.
Right.
Now, in Leviticus 16, 10, 20, 21.
Okay.
Can you quote it for me?
No. he wanted me to quote three chapters.
What he says is, you take two goats.
Yes.
Lay the hand on the one for the scapegoat.
Yes.
And then all the sins committed.
Yes.
By the people will be laid on that one.
Yes.
On the Day of Atonement.
Yes.
That was the 10th day of the 7th month.
Okay.
And it will be released in the desert.
Yes.
There's something spiritual about that, isn't it? And that happens on the Day of Atonement, even in the 50th year, right?
Yes, but what I'm saying is that the release of the individual, let me tell you. You see, I have said it a couple of times here. The things of the Old Testament were shadows of the realities of spirituality. And I said that day, I said, if you want, you can go and relate with my shadow. Leave me alone. Are you following me? You can see my shadow and say, good morning, Dr. Okala. Try a handshake. Are you with me? Yeah. Lay your hands on the goat. Release the goat. So what? Go and read the book of Hebrews. I know. I know. Yes.
I mean, the Bible says all the sins
yes.
of the people were put on earth.
Yes.
I'm saying that is spiritual. The sins are from the people.
It is spiritual.
It doesn't reflect, you know, the shadow, your shadow.
Yeah.
But I'm saying at that particular time, their sins were from the people.
Yes, but
that's spiritual.
It is correct. But what I'm saying is this. You are released for 1 year from bondage. Are you following me? Physically. But what about the hand laid on the goat? We will see everything very soon. You see, the high priest, who will supervise all of that? Eh? The Bible said he would enter into the Holy of Holies once in a year. But before entering, he will offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And then just before entering, he will offer one for himself. Are you following me now? As soon as he offered it, he entered behind the veil. If he should fumble behind the veil, he would be smitten dead. Immediately. So, the sacrifice that he offered for his sin before he entered behind the veil, what is it doing? If behind the veil, immediately behind the veil, he makes an error and he is smitten dead. So, what was the purpose of that sacrifice?
The material that he made
it was momentary. That sacrifice was momentary. Therefore, Hebrews 4:16, talking about us and the blood of Jesus, now says, come therefore boldly to the throne of God. Boldly, because you don't have to be afraid that you will be stricken down. The priest of those days will be doing whatever he was doing, shivering, knowing that if he made a mistake, wow. But now, we can go boldly to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. Are you with me? Okay. So what is this spirituality? Your sins are forgiven now. For the next moment, your family, Jubilee, the slave is released for 1 year. He may never come back. Some will come back, like I said. Some are going to come back. But you lay your hands on the goat, on the head of the goat, and so on and so forth. That one is also momentary. The physical release is for 1 year. The sin, the remission, is momentary. The next moment, you are committing your sins again, and it is there. Because it is only the past sins that the blood of the goat will account for. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm clear with you, sir.
Okay.
And maybe so that we can be somewhere in
the. Let me add one thing, and then you can talk. Let me add one thing. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus cleanses. Say it.
Cleanses
us from all sins. All sins. The past sins. The present ones. The future ones. Not like under the old covenant, where the blood of the animal only atoned for the past sins. Are you following me now? Okay. So, go ahead now.
Can I talk now?
Sure.
Okay. So, I think we are not getting ready.
I'm getting you.
There is an element of spirituality.
Yes.
Momentarily.
Yes.
But Christ is forever and ever.
Permanent.
Now I understand. You understand me.
Yes. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, under the new covenant, we have the true Jubilee. But we will approach it gradually. Well, we have touched on it in our discussion just now. Okay. But we will approach it gradually. So, we want to look at some statements that were made at the time that John the Baptist was being Christian. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
At the time that he was being Christian. The book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, from verse 67 to 80. Your own Bible did not get to 67?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, read. I was going to say I'll read.
Okay.
And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before his face, before the face of the Lord, to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and was strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, verse 69, he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Is he talking about John?
No.
He's talking about Jesus. John was not from the house of David. He was talking about Jesus, son of David. So, the things that followed were about Jesus. Are you with me? He is the one that will save us from our enemies, from the hands of those that hate us. But very importantly, 74, that we've been delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Without fear. Without fear means liberty. Are you with me? That we might serve him in absolute liberty. No fear. Tell me something. What brings about fear? Or what brought about fear? Anybody?
Sin.
Sin. Remember we read from Thursday? Genesis 3? When they sinned, and God came in the beauty of his holiness, rather than worship and appreciate God, they fled from his presence. And the man said, I fled because I was afraid. I went to hide myself. Hallelujah. So you have to use scripture to sort out scripture. Where he said, we may now serve him without fear. You follow me? The root was in Adam. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which meant that since Adam until the coming of Jesus, nobody was really serving in true liberty. Are you with me? Nobody was really serving God in true liberty. That's what is implied. That now we can serve our God without fear. Now we can be delivered from the hands of our enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Well, I said, okay, Isaiah 28:16. You remember what we read there? Isaiah 28:16. Who remembers now? Everybody take a sheet of paper. Yes, and whosoever believes in him will not be shaken, will not be in fear. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, Isaiah 61, you remember we read that? Who can tell me how that started? The first verse? Okay. Okay. And when we read it in terms of Isaiah's ministry. When he spoke in terms of his ministry, but he was prophetic. He was talking about the Messiah to come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now let us resolve that from the book of Luke, chapter 4, from verse 15 through verse 21. And I read again. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears." Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, the prophecy from Isaiah 61, Jesus now read and said, "Here he stands." Praise the Lord. The one that Isaiah was talking about, here he is. So what is he doing? Look at the prophecy again. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." When you look at the ministry of Jesus, most of those who followed him were the materially poor people. Are you with me? They were the materially poor people. Interestingly, the scripture said that when Jesus was arrested and was to be taken to heaven, who was then visiting Jerusalem? He was on visit to Jerusalem. Herod was very happy that he would see Jesus. The Bible said he had always wished that he would see him, because he had had a lot about him. So the thing that's going to kill a lot of people is the money that they have, the position that they have, the societal image that they have. The man Zacchaeus was a very rich man. The Bible said Zacchaeus, the tax collector, was very rich. Do you follow me now? But he wanted to see. He didn't wait until the day they would capture Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, the Savior. And he looked at himself, a short man. Even if he was very close, if Jesus was here, and Zacchaeus was here, and very tall people were all around him, as it was in those days.
Zacchaeus still wouldn't see him. Are you following me now? Because he was a very short man, so he had to make himself taller. He helped himself. Hallelujah. He helped himself. He went to find it. Forget about my money. I want to see this Jesus. So Jesus got there, saw the short man up there, and Jesus knew everything about man. He singled him out. Wow. You have very strong desire to see me. Come. Salvation is coming into your house. May salvation come into your house. Yeah. Herod waited on the capital of my brother. Hey, I have always wanted to see this man. I have had so much about him. But what benefit was it to Herod?
Nothing.
Zero. Hallelujah. Amen. But preaching the gospel to the poor did not just refer to the materially poor. He would preach to anybody. He was to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. Are you following me? Present are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Not the materially poor, the poor in spirit. Hallelujah. Who are the poor in spirit? Who? Anybody who has confidence, raise up your hand. Don't look at me, he has confidence.
Don't you know that they are sinners and they need to be saved? And recognize that Jesus has the power to save. Those are the poor in spirit.
50%. In America, 50% is an F. Standard.
I am a poor in spirit because I want to know the Lord more and more.
Okay. She got the other 50%. So both of you can add them up. Praise the Lord. But the Lord knew what's right. The poor in spirit will come to Jesus. I need you. But after you have accepted him and you are in the body of Christ, if you ever think that you have enough, you are wrong. You must always see yourself as being poor in spirit and asking for more. When you are poor in something, you make effort to have more of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not good to say, I gave my life last year. That's it. That's it. Jesus did not say, seek the kingdom of God. Period. He said, seek for the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, you find the kingdom, then you begin to seek the righteousness of the kingdom. Are you with me? Unless you do that, you are not yet complete. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's preaching to the poor in spirit, those who want to continue to grow and grow. And Jesus said they will inherit the kingdom of God. Eventually, such people will inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Preaching the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. What does it mean to be brokenhearted?
Downcast,
unhappy. Disappointed. When you give the broken hearted, you give them hope. You give them reason to get out and jubilate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are broken hearted sometimes when you have lost something very precious. In the days when you were young, if there was a boyfriend or girlfriend that you loved very much, and suddenly the person just cuts off and goes to somebody else, say, you are breaking my heart. Praise the Lord. The choir master wants to talk.
If he wants to give you food, he'll say,
We use our money to buy the food. You better not eat them. Jesus did particularly for that even that. He wanted to save the sinner. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. Amen. And let's go to your house. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I didn't say that you should join them in any with you. I did not say that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said don't judge them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Jesus said you have not come for the righteous.
Yes.
I'm believing that he is saying he has not come for those who take their righteousness.
Of course.
Because if, okay, I won't say more. Yes.
Of Esau. Are you with me? The Romans made him king. Are you following me now? Okay. So they had a king who was not an Israelite. They had a governor who came from Rome. They said they were not in bondage to anybody. You are crazy. We are not in bondage under anybody. We are the seed of Abraham. Jesus said, you're not getting it. Inasmuch as you are under the hand of sin, you are servants of sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is liberty. You see, we go into the prison from the prison ministry. And when some of these prisoners give their testimonies, you will see the reality of what Christ is. A prisoner says, I thank God that I am here now. Are you following me? So do you see how the physical bondage is nothing to somebody who has been set free? I thank God that I am here now. I used to think that I must smoke marijuana. Since I have been here, there has been no marijuana and I am existing. I used to think that I must sleep with women, but since I have been here, there is no woman, and I am not dead. That may not be true. If you don't do it, you won't die. Believe me. Praise the Lord. It doesn't kill anybody. But the devil puts it there. Ah! Do it, you have a cat. Look for somebody. When you are liberated, then you begin to see that I have been in bondage. So a prisoner with the world around him is thanking God because he is in the physical prison where he has come to know the spiritual release. Give Jesus a hallelujah. Amen. This is what it is about. Hallelujah. The recovery of sight to the blind. We said in the Garden of Eden, the serpent said to Adam and Eve, your eyes will be open, amen. And the wonder their eyes open. So they ate the fruit, and their eyes were opened, praise the Lord. They became civilized. It was not the physical eyes. They became civilized. Now Jesus brings recovery of sight to the blind, those who are not able to see spiritually. I have come to give them spiritual sight. And because he said recovery, it means that basically it was there for man in the beginning. Man lost it. Are you with me now? So he wants man to recover it. Hallelujah. And proclaiming the acceptable year. Proclaiming the acceptable year, which is liberty, jubilee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he made his ministry clear as that is prophecy in the book of Isaiah 61. And of course, if you go back and read, he goes ahead to talk about the qualities. We read it earlier. The qualities of those who are so delivered. That you will be the ones who repair the waste. Are you with me? So, he has not delivered you to just sit down. He has delivered you so that you will become laborers and go and walk in the vineyard of the Lord and bring about the repairs that are necessary in the lives of other people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody has any question now? Or comment? Now, talking about being delivered from the power of darkness, I want us to look at the nature of the bondage that man went into under the hand of the power of darkness. Before I read this passage, let me tell you this one. under the old covenant, a nation was great on the basis of the ability to conquer. Are you with me? On the basis of the ability to conquer. The essential work of nations was to go to war. Okay. When I sit down and I meditate over a lot of these things, deep inside of me, I just laugh. You rise up, you go to war, you slaughter the people, conquer the people, carry their animals, I understand, you need food, carry their gold, carry their silver, everything and everything, carry them to your own place, and all you do with them is to display them and show the people. Are you with me? Another nation will come to conquer you and carry the things and spread them out, display them and show to other people. And I think to myself, God will be looking at us from up there. And he will be laughing. Who are these people? That is all you do with them. You will go and kill and kill and kill. So kill them, put them to work, carry their jewels and everything and display. I still have the video. The conquistadors, if you remember the medieval history, maybe? The coming of the Spaniards to South America, Central America. In theater, they were called the conquistadors. I have a documentary on them. It's so beautiful. When you're watching a movie, what each person reads can be so different. And when I opened my mouth and I spoke to those with who were watching, everybody said, "Who told man?" The king instead sets out his army. Not a lot of people, but they were sophisticated, relatively sophisticated in terms of their weapons, to Central America. And they went there and conquered and conquered and conquered. I hope you follow me. The conquistadors means the conquerors. Today, the official language in Central and South America is Spanish. They completely changed their culture. Not like our own is English. Are you with me? Spanish. They were idol worshippers, worshipping the sun god. The people of Montezuma, the Aztec Empire, all of those ones. Now they are mostly Catholic. Are you with me? The South American now, Central American, if you're not a Catholic, you're not fantastic. But why did he send them there? To look for gold. Are you with me? To look for gold. So they had an agreement. When they conquered, they took over the gold and sent the king's portion to him. Are you with me now? But see, the grave is never satisfied. For as long as there are dead bodies, the grave will open its mouth. There was still more gold. So they went from place to place, conquering, amassing gold, sending the king's portion to him, and keeping their own. They went on and fought and fought and fought and fought until all of them died there. So the point is this. So all of the gold. Praise the Lord. All of the king of Spain enjoyed his food. You. You cannot understand that it is the devil that drives the great men of this world. Things that are not important. Hallelujah. They are conquering people and putting people in slavery under them. They did not know that they were in bondage under the devil. Are you following me now? You think that you are free. You are not free. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let us go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Isaiah 14. I'll begin to read from verse 12. I'll stop on 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? We did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.
I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of a pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? In order to understand the last verse there, I'm going to read different translations to you. So, from my Bible now, let me go to Isaiah 14. Okay. Let me read American Standard Version. The last verse, verse 17. American Standard Version, listen carefully. That made the world as a wilderness, and overthrew the city thereof, that let not loose his prisoners to their home. In other words, when the devil captures you, he never lets you go. Are you with me? Let me read another translation. The Contemporary English Version. Is he the one who refused to let prisoners go home? Another version. The English Standard Version. Who made the world like a desert and overthrew the cities? Who did not let his prisoners go home? Are you following? Another version. The Good News Bible. Is this the man who destroyed cities and turned the world into a desert? Is this the man who never freed his prisoners or let them go home? Never. Another one. Young's Literal Translation. He hath made the world as a wilderness, and his cities he hath broken down. Of his bound ones he opened not the house. Once he binds them, that's it. That is yet one. The Bible in Basic English. Who made the world a waste, overturning its towns? Who did not let his prisoners loose from the prison house? Do you see what spiritual bondage is like? When Satan puts in bondage, that's it. I know I have talked about my deliverance book again and again. By the grace of God, you will soon have the opportunity to launch the book. I explained this in there. Are you with me? I want us to see what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the gospel is nothing without Jesus and what he did. There will be no gospel. The devil never lets go from Adam until today. Only if you have accepted Jesus are you free. For you are the master, you are the servants of whoever you obey. If you don't come into the obedience of Jesus, you are still the servant of sin. I used the Pharaoh as an example of somebody thoroughly possessed with the spirit of the devil. Putting the Israelites in bondage in Egypt, and he would not let go. Are you following me now? He would not let go. Whatever he would not let go. Even when the magician said, oh Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, let these people go, he would not let go. And I expect, if somebody must be delivered from the prison of the devil, that person must have the power to completely devastate the devil and take the prisoner out by force. Hallelujah. That was what God did in Egypt. God told Moses, don't worry. When I do the final thing, they will want you to live in a hurry. If Jesus said, I'm offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said that you will not go now. Don't worry. When I do the thing that I will do, he will want you to live quickly. Never say him. I use David as an example again. Can you imagine that a lion will catch a lamb? Eh? Who can be, what animal, what man can come to deliver the lamb from the jaws of the lion? Are you with me? Or the bear? When a lion captures a lamb, it becomes food. I said, but David stood in the name of the Lord. And David said, I held it and I smote it and killed it. And I delivered the lamb from its mouth. The impossible is done by God. Give Jesus the clap for me. Hallelujah. And so is our deliverance. That when Jesus was crucified and buried, the Bible said he descended into hell and he engaged the power of hell in a public fight and he made a show of hell. Devastated them. His name became a terror. They hear Jesus and they say, hey, what do you know? And they flee. So he set us free. And I said to people, we sing and we're singing about Satan. Only a true magician. I'm happy with it. I don't think it's a great one to sing, but the reason they can sing it anyway is because they know they're hiding in Jesus. I'll follow my point. If you dare confront him without Jesus, go and try. You will know that Satan is a strong man. Jesus did not deny that. He said, before you scold the house of God, you must first find him. It takes somebody greater than him to devastate his house and set the captives free. Jesus set us free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give Jesus a clap for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me take a break here for today. Let's talk. Yes, sir. Well, I don't know if you will. Let him talk. You can talk. Yes, he wants to talk. After him, then you will talk. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is about Pharaoh. Is having mind of sin is not quite a long time.
Yes.
Now, when he saw Joseph,
yes,
and he not to find him guilty of any of it.
Yes.
Now, what made him not to say free him?
Yeah.
And handed over the son to the king. Is it because he is afraid? Or what is it? Or to fulfill the
Let us say
that, but he was asking, why didn't Herod release Jesus? Herod knew there was nothing that he did that made him worthy of them. Was he afraid or was he to fulfill the scriptures? Everything together. Everything together. Listen, the scriptures have to be fulfilled. May God not let you fall in line to be used as a vessel unto his honor.
Amen.
Why did Judas betray Jesus? So that the scriptures will be fulfilled. But Jesus said, woe to that person. of man, it will not be so with you.
Amen. See, I have just said it when we recognize that body, that the powerful people of this world do not know that they are also in bondage under Satan, and he dictates their activity. Are you with me? The Pharaoh did not know that the devil was dictating his activities. When the Pharaoh gave an order, go and begin to kill all of the male children of the Hebrews, he was thinking of they have increased in number. That was the meditation of the devil. Look at them, they are increasing in number. Someday they will join with the enemies to defeat you. Begin to kill all of their male children. So the Herod started to carry it out. He didn't realize that his master, the devil, was dictating his activities. Why? He was thinking of his kingdom. However, when God promised Abraham, your seed will spend 400 years in the state land where they were served, the devil had it. The Hebrews were massive information from parents to offspring. You follow me now? All of them knew. So the devil knew it. And he was counting time too. Are you following me? He was also counting time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when you figure their deliverer is probably going to be born at about this time. The period that God said is almost getting fulfilled. And the one who will deliver them might well be born now. We have begin to grow. He has his own timing. Do you follow me? So he moved the Pharaoh to begin to kill them. All he wanted to do was kill Moses. Are you with me? But God will put Moses in the palace of the Pharaoh to nourish him until the time that he would leave and then come back to devastate the kingdom. If God doesn't let you do a thing, you cannot know it. Now, your scriptural confirmation is this. When Jesus, the deliverer, was born, the same thing happened. Herod also gave an order. Go and begin all of... Are you following me now? The same Satan moved Herod. Look. Are you with me? That the same thing happened again. That you think it was a coincidence? No. There were spiritually determined events. So all Herod wanted to kill was Jesus. But they had to be killing all of those dead children to get Jesus. And God will take Jesus and go hide him where? In the Pharaoh's kingdom again. Egypt. The place where he hid Moses. That was where? That's Egypt. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this thing is spiritually determined. You can be acting under the hand of the devil and not know. But may God give you the grace as believers in Christ to discern what you see and discern what you hear, no matter how good it is sounding. If it is of the devil, may God let you know.
Yeah.
Like Jesus, when Peter said, you will not suffer, like you are not going to suffer, Jesus said, get back from me, Satan. You don't sever the things of God. You're thinking of the flesh. What did Peter say that was so bad? Nothing. It sounded good. It sounded like he loved you. But Jesus knew. Hey, this is not of God. This is the devil. May he give you the grace to discern properly.
Amen.
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 Give Jesus a clap of praise.
I'm not sure I'm quoting the chapter of the Bible correctly, but it says, after all, you don't remember, it says from the time of John the Baptist, in the present, the kingdom of God covered about it,
yes,
and the violence took it by force.
Yes.
So what do you mean by that?
Okay.
From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence they did by force. He did not mean those who go out and begin to burn houses down. The kingdom of God, entering into the kingdom of God, calls for spiritual aggression. And it is those who are spiritually aggressive that take the kingdom by reason of their aggressive attitude towards the things of the kingdom of God. That is what it is.
How does Jesus come into this?
Into what?
Into this. Because he's the one who is fighting for us.
Since the time of John the Baptist.
He's the fighting.
Are you not fighting? Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.